evening to all of you. I trust that you've had a wonderful Christmas season and you're looking forward to a new year in the Lord, serving Him and working with each other for the cause of the gospel. We'll be in John chapter 20. Please be in prayer for those that are away and traveling, visiting with family. And when they get back, they'll have a heart ready to serve the Lord. John chapter 20. John chapter number 20 and verse number 19. We'll be looking at Thomas this evening. We'll continue our studies going through the apostles. John chapter 20, verse number 19. We'll read down to verse number 31, I believe. Yeah, we'll just finish out the chapter there. John 20, verse 19, the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Thomas, well, he probably gets a lot of grief out of all the disciples that we have here, him and Peter. They probably get most of the sermons pointed at them. You notice his name was Thomas, but called Didymus. Didymus in Greek is twin. So he either had a twin, the scriptures doesn't tell us that, or he appeared to look like one of the other ones. I'm not sure the reason why they would call him Didymus the twin. It, generally speaking, it's because you have a twin there. A brother or sister, a twin brother or sister, or you look closely alike towards someone. Now he's, as we read throughout the Gospels, you'll notice that some of the disciples are in the very forefront of all the Gospels. Other of the disciples are kind of just lingering in the background. They're just there. Now I wonder, just thinking about it personally, how would you feel? You don't have to answer this out loud, but how would you feel if a book was being written that included you in it, but did not spend much time mentioning you? How would you react? It says a lot about how you would. You know, if you get upset and get bothered and troubled that you're not mentioned a lot, you don't get a lot of accolades or a lot of attaboys, maybe we need to work a little bit on our humility. You know, even though John was the writer of the Gospel of John, the human writer, when we looked at him, at the John the Beloved, we looked at him, he didn't mention himself very much. And he was the author of it. And I believe the apostles, all of them, displayed humility really by keeping their focus on Christ. I think if we're bothered that we don't get called on or we don't get our turn or, you know, something happens and, you know, maybe it's your turn to sing a special next and you get kind of skipped past and it bothers you, or maybe it's, you know, you didn't get asked to teach a Sunday school class or something out there. We need to understand that this is not a personal thing. This is not our show, per se. We're not the one doing the solo here. This is all about Jesus. And if we keep our focus on Him, it doesn't really, you know, hinder us or hamper our feelings or get us all emotional about things in life whenever we're not mentioned or, you know, asked to do or attention's not given our day, our way. Something we don't know a lot about is Thomas is only mentioned 8 times in the entirety of the Bible. 8 of them. Now half of those references mention only his name. That's it. So he's mentioned 8 times. The other one, half of the 8, 4 of those just simply mentioned him as one of the apostles. That's it. Just like it mentioned everybody else. Just the same way as it is. Now, there's something that I notice about Thomas, and that's it. We generally focus on what? What is the first thing that pops to your mind when we mention Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Well, that's what we first mentioned, but I think if we look deeply into the statements and what he says, you'll notice the love that Thomas has for the Lord. I mean, he has a true, genuine, deep love for the Lord. For instance, go with me to John chapter 11. Skip back a few chapters there in John chapter number 11. And maybe let's start reading around verse 6. John chapter 11, verse 6. Okay, this is at the point in time when Lazarus is sick. Well, hold your place there and flip back to John 10:31, and you'll see the background of why the disciples really did not want to return. John 10:31, the Bible says, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." So there's a point in time they wanted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to stone him. And verse 30 says, "Because he said, I am." You know, they understood that. If you look back at John, he said, "I and my Father are one." And the Jews were upset. There was one God in their mind. That was it. But they took up stones and wanted to kill him. Then you pick up here in the story in John chapter 11, with Lazarus being dead. Look at verse 6. "And when he had heard, therefore, that the same was sick." So at this time, he's not really dead at this time. He's sick. "He abode 2 days still the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go into Judea again.'" And this here brings into reflection of what their mindset was. There, and then after that, he said to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." And his disciples said unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, And goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in them. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, and unto the fellow disciples, Let us go also go, that we may die with him. So you notice the love in that. Let's go with him. Listen, if he's going to die, I'm willing to die with him. So you notice there, and all the other disciples are worried about being stoned, worried about the situation they had left there in Judea, and about going back. And Thomas said, well, if the Lord's gone, and if he dies there, then let's go, and we'll all die with him. You know, do you love the Lord enough to make that kind of statement? The other disciples are worried about the materialistic thing. You know, I'm be honest with you. I'd be worried about a stone coming my way too. They saw the anger. They were there. And Thomas was there. And he was spending time with the Lord now. Probably up to this point, it's probably about 3 years he's been with the Lord. The Lord came to die. But the Lord didn't come to die to stay dead. The Lord came to die to rise again, that we might have eternal life. For the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was to die, he was rising again. For Thomas, he was just going to be dead. He didn't quite understand all that was going on, even after being with him. Thomas's love lacked knowledge. And many times, I tell you, dear friend, that's where we are as Christians. Our response to Scripture many times is because of lack of knowledge and lack of understanding of the purpose behind the Scripture. He didn't understand the intent that Christ had for going there. And so he was saying, listen, let's just die. Do you understand something different? God does not want us to be smarter sinners in Scripture. He wants us to have an understanding of the knowledge we gain from Scripture. And many times that's where we stand. We get Scripture, we get some understanding, but we get knowledge and we get wisdom. We have no understanding on how to use it. We don't understand the purpose behind that. And we make statements just like this. And Thomas, but we, on this side of it, we focus on the fact that Thomas was a doubter. Thomas loved the Lord. I mean, he had great, deep love for the Lord. I mean, he certainly did. Anybody that would forsake all and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, they had to have a love for the Lord. So, yeah, he did have some doubts there, but he had a great desire to follow the Lord. Look with me over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Many times we miss this here portion in this great passage of Scripture, because it is a tremendous passage of Scripture. Our focus goes straight to John 14, 6. But if we start reading in John chapter 14, verse 1, you'll notice something now that we're studying Thomas. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know. I mean, the Lord is emphatic here. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 3 years he's walked with the Lord. 3 years he saw a miracle. He saw the Lord preach. He saw the Lord sermonize on the Mount of Olives. And he's seen the Lord daily interacting with people and speaking. And here the Lord is talking to the disciples and telling them some strong facts. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we don't know. Thomas still had no understanding of the Lord's purpose in life. Dear friend, we got to get to the point where as we gain knowledge of Scripture, we can all agree that the Lord is the living Word. And as He spoke, what wisdom, what word, what boldness, what power the Lord must have spoke with in many different situations. And yet Thomas was lacking understanding of the Scriptures. We got to get to the point, dear friend, as we study through the Word. Thomas had a desire to follow because he forsook all and he followed. I'm not saying we don't have a desire to follow. I'm saying that many times the reason we lose the battles of the flesh is because we don't have good understanding of execution of the Scriptures. We got to get to the point there. Not only do we hide them in our heart that we might not sin against God, that's the execution. It's good to hide them in our heart, but how do we not sin? We execute the Scriptures. We get the principle, we have understanding, and we put it into action. Many times we're so trapped in the bondage of the flesh is because we have no understanding of how to execute the principles and precepts and purpose of the Scripture behind us. Listen, many Christians fail to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not alone in this. Go into 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 3. Paul, at the church of Corinth, said to him the same thing. John, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul looked at the church of Corinth and he was like livid. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So Paul looked at the church of Corinth and said, look guys, we have some problems here. I need to be talking about some deep issues, but I can't get past it because you're carnal. You have knowledge, you have Scripture, you have a direction, but you have no understanding to execute the Scriptures that you have hid in your heart. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. You got to know how to execute it. You have to know how to follow through on the precepts of the Scriptures. Look in John chapter number 20. Back over in John chapter 20. Remember, I was reading a story about a pastor, and I don't know the whole story, and I hate doing that, but I think it was the Book of Revivals. And one pastor, there's a book I got over there, and it's about different revivals and how the revivals came about. But one pastor, I mean, he preached, I mean, every sermon, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, on the same passage of Scripture, over and over and over. Finally, one of the deacons came and said, Pastor, how many times are you going to preach that? He said, until we get it and get going with it. And then afterwards, they grabbed a hold to the principle and the precept, and man, revival just broke out amongst the people. Listen, revival doesn't come from without the walls. Revival comes from within, right here, within us, with the group right here. And we've got to grab it. We've got to get a hold to it. We've got to get to the point where we take Scripture for face value and for absolutes and understand that the God of the universe, the sovereign God of the universe, has chosen by purpose to live within us. That's amazing. to make his home within us. John chapter 20 and verse 25. John chapter 20 and verse number 25. Dear friend, may we come to the point that the love of God that's within us, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. May it come to the point that the love of God that's within us helps us to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ on a daily basis. I mean, I'll tell you, dear friend, it's good when people, the other night, as you turn to John chapter 20, I took my daughters and my wife, and we went to a play. What's the name of that play, girls? A Few Things That I Like. Few Things. That Sound of Music, something that's few. What is it? Tell me. Few of My Favorite Things. There you go. Anyway, we're there and we were checking in, and I'm paying the lady, and she looked up at me, and she, without any knowledge of my background, I didn't tell her or didn't try to witness to her. I was just trying to play. And she looked up, she said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You sound like a pastor." And all I was doing was paying. Man. But isn't it nice when people recognize Christ? That's not an everyday thing. It's not. But when it happens, but that the love that dwells in us, because God is love. The love that dwells in us should, I mean, Lord, help it to work itself out, that they see Christ in us, the hope of glory. John chapter number 20, verse 25. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. And he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the print of his nails, and put my fingers into the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And listen to the next words. He said to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust it into my side. And this one says, Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God." I mean, Jesus just came right out with it, with the doubts that he was having and the troubles and the turmoil he was having with trying to understand. This was a difficult time for the disciples. For 3.5 years, they had walked with the Lord. They'd seen great miracles. Dear friend, they've seen him walk on water. They've seen him cleanse lepers. They've seen him, the deaf hear, blind see, lame walk, thousands fed. I mean, they had seen things that was just tremendous things that were taking place around them that they had never, ever had been in contact before. Then all of a sudden, bang, he's dead, he's gone. Three times. Peace be unto you. He understood the heart. He understood the fear. He understood where they were at and where they were at their life. And he came right back to the one that was missing. They had done met a week prior. Thomas was so frustrated and just troubled that he didn't even come to the gathering there. And he said, "I'm not going to believe it. I'm not. Unless I put my hands in there and I put my hand in the side." And Jesus came back with the same words. But you notice Thomas never did it. He didn't have to reach in. He didn't have to put his hand in the side where that spear had went through. He just saw the Lord. I mean, just saw him. And he declared his faith. When we first get to looking at Thomas, dear friend, we see the pessimistic side of him. "Let us go to Judah and die with him. I mean, let us just go and die." Then you see the frustration that's in him. He says, We don't know where you're going, Lord. How in the world can we go with you? Kind of frustrating. See pessimism, you see frustration. And if it's here, the fearful here, I won't believe until I see. I won't believe. And then you see the triumph. You see the believing. My Lord and my God. I mean, this is the journey of one man's life. Thomas, Didymus, twin. I mean, Thomas went fishing with the other disciples after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ appeared unto him the third time. And that's the last we see of Thomas in the Bible, right here. See, you don't see nothing more about him. Now, historians write that he was in the northern regions of Iran, and northwest region of Iran. He was preaching the gospel there and spending time there. Made his way over into India. They say that he died a martyr there. But the last time we see him in the scriptures is right here. Right, I'm just right. Lord, my God, my Lord, my God. And what a testimony we see of a man that we don't know a lot. Like I said, 8 times he mentioned in the Bible, 4 times simply his name. But you see a man that in his last words, my Lord and my God. You know, sometimes, dear friend, it's not always how you start. It's better to finish right than to start right. I want us all to, we all got a good foundation. Listen, if you're saved, you got a good foundation. You got the best start in the world. The author of our faith, Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2, I believe it is. But we need the finisher of our faith. Don't get down to the last portion of your life, the last thing that people remember, and it's pessimistic, it's fearful, it's frustration. Dear friend, live a triumphant life in Christ. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Our faith is our victory. And this is where you see Thomas. But every last one of us, even myself, I'll be honest with you, before I did this study, it was always doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Oh, doubting Thomas. If I don't want to be doubting Thomas, and Lord, behold, how many times have we? Unless I see it, I can't believe this. Unless the Lord, I've got to see it. I've got to put my hands on it. But when he saw God at work, the resurrected Christ, he believed. But Jesus finished an amazing statement in our verses here. Thomas, you believe. That's awesome because you saw. But he said something there. Blessed are they who believe without seeing. That verse, I think, is verse number, what is that, 28, 20, 30? 29? Yeah, verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and I. Jesus put a blessing on our life right there. Just, that's for us. Blessed. I mean, favorite of God. Favorite of God because we believe without seeing. Well, aren't you thankful that one day we're going to see him as he is? I mean, that is a wonderful thought there. So next time you get all banged up on Thomas, so doubting Thomas, I don't want to be a doubting Thomas, remember, he finished well. He finished well. Church, we can finish well if we only focus on Christ. It's all about him. Too many times we're stumbling around in the dark. You remember those verses there? Jesus, we don't want to go, Lord. It's 12 hours in the day. Walk. You don't stumble. We want to fumble around in the dark. Falling around, you know, we don't need to be fooling around with darkness. Get around the light of the Word of God, the light of God's people, and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, it'd be like a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. And finish well. Finish well. We're at the end of the year. Isn't it amazing how the Lord put that there? Last Wednesday, we're fooling around with doubting Thomas because some of us have doubted all year. And we see the last time Thomas is mentioned in the Bible. What triumph. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask you, Lord, to bless us tonight as we close out this service. We ask you, Lord, to watch over us this week as we go our way this evening. May, Lord, we be a proper testimony, a good ambassador, the right testimony for your sake. Lord, help us to realize this isn't about us. We cannot change anybody. It's all about Jesus. And Lord, our friends, our family, our co-workers, the lost people we come in contact with daily, they need to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to finish well. Not only this year, Lord, our service for you, so that one day we'll hear, "Well done, thou good, faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.